RC Davis here for Warriors Sound. Historic game coming up on March 29th. That's a Monday between the Golden State Warriors and Chicago Bulls on Warriors Radio. Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert stepping aside in their place. Kate Scott, Coach Mary Murphy, and our own NBC Sports Bay Area reporter, Kareth Burke. Earlier this week, I had a chance to catch up with all three ladies, and they were all excited for this historical broadcast.
Kate Scott, a radio veteran of the Bay Area and elsewhere. How are you doing, Kate?
Doing great, RC. Thank you.
So for those who don't know, you will be doing the Warriors game play-by-play along with Mary Murphy and Kareth Burke on the Bulls game on March 29th, taking over for Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert, and Jim Barnett. How excited were you when Tim Roy gave you the opportunity on the morning roast?
I didn't even have a chance to be excited, RC. I was so shocked. We're just having Tim on, right, to talk about the second half. It was right as the Warriors were tipping off the second half of the season. We're literally saying goodbye to him when he just throws it out there. What are you doing on March 29th, Kate? And I literally have to pull up my calendar on my computer. Well, I'm hosting the morning roast and going to be watching the Warriors Bulls game. And then he said I wasn't going to be watching it. I was going to be calling it. So I was literally in shock. The excitement didn't hit until later that afternoon where I was able to wrap my head around, oh my gosh, Tim has offered me the opportunity to call an NBA game. And now the excitement hasn't stopped since then.
How happy were your friends, family, coworkers? I mean, that they had to be genuinely happy for you.
The response has been overwhelming, RC. And I can't thank people enough for that support. You know, my response has been, let's just wait and let me call the game first. Let's see how excited y'all are after I call the game. But from friends and family, from Tim, Tom, Jim, from folks all over the Bay Area and all over the country, their support and excitement for me, I think, has meant the most. And I can't wait to hopefully make all of them proud on Monday the 29th.
You've called an NHL game on television. You've called an NFL game on radio. Play-by-play is very important to you. Not the analyst, not the sideline reporter. Play-by-play is very important to you.
Yeah, well, back in the old days when I actually used to play sports, a long time ago, RC, I was, you know, the point guard on my basketball team. I was, you know, the center mid on my soccer team. I was the person who tried to be the leader of all the teams I played on. And when it comes to radio or television, but even more so in radio, play-by-play is that person because it takes a village. Not going to be able to call the game without Mary, without you, without Kareth, without so many things, producers, directors, when it comes to television, but you are the one directing the band. And obviously, when I stopped playing sports, that left a gigantic hole in my heart because I saw myself, I so identified with that. So when I discovered that I could feel a lot of the same emotions and have similar to the rush of adrenaline because, no, you're not playing the game, but it's live radio or television. So it doesn't matter how much prep you did, you're still just rolling the ball out there. You're just talking into this microphone and anything can happen. So for a washed up athlete like myself, that is why I love play-by-play because I'm interacting with the coaches and the players. I'm right near the court. You're traveling with the teams. So it is as fun as I'm sure a lot of folks imagine. And the fact that I get paid to do it, I pinch myself every day for that.
You grew up in Clovis, which is around Fresno. You went to school at Cal Berkeley. Speak on how you were brought up around sports and how being from those places and going to school at Cal prepared you for what you do today.
I've been a sports nut since I was a little girl. RC, playing everything, soccer, basketball, tennis, track and field, roller hockey. I mean, we made up sports when we were kids, right? Played four varsity sports through high school, then tore my meniscus. And that ended what I thought was going to be a collegiate soccer career. But now, you know, it gave me a leg up, maybe pun intended, because then I went to school and didn't spend those 4 or 5 years playing a sport. I already got into broadcasting when I was at Cal, so was able to do a ton of internships and was able to make all the connections that everybody knows in any industry are so important to you getting those first couple of jobs and then taking off from there. So I know 100% I wouldn't be here with this opportunity to call a Warriors game if I hadn't grown up surrounded by sports and so many sports nuts down in the Central Valley. If I hadn't gotten to have as much fun as I did at Cal, but also learn so much and make all the connections that then led to my broadcasting career. So for me, it's all intertwined.
For most broadcasters to get to the pinnacle of where they want to be, they have to, like you said, play a lot of sports growing up. Coaches encourage you to play other sports, to learn other skill sets. You work for the Pac-12 Network as well. And I know for broadcasters that are starting out, that might be a field hockey game. That might be a volleyball game. You got to really know your sports.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I tell kids all the time. When I went to college, do I remember a lot of the classes I took at Cal? Sorry, mom and dad, not really. But I learned how to study. I learned the best ways for me to memorize and learn, whether that was visually, whether it was audio learning. So those are the skills that I have carried over with me. And yeah, getting back to your comparison with playing all the different sports growing up, I still hear so many superstars these days say, yeah, I played 3 sports, even though my travel coach hated it so much, but it kept me from burning out. And it also kept me healthy because I was using so many different muscles. And for me, it's the same thing again with broadcasting. People ask me all the time what your favorite sport is to call. And it's really whatever sport I'm calling that day, because they're all so different. And by calling different things, it fine tunes different skills. And I'm going to be calling 3 hockey games in Boston a couple of days before our Warriors Bulls game. And I'm really excited because the pace of hockey, even though it's on television, it's almost like a radio call because it moves so fast. You're literally identifying every player and the direction where the puck is on the rink, because a lot of people at home can't even see where the puck is. So I'm so happy that I'm calling hockey on television before I do basketball on the radio, because just a lot of similarities.
A lot of people don't understand the difference between TV and radio. It's a completely different animal. You're going to be working with Mary Murphy, who you've worked with in the past. So that's going to be nice for you. She might not get to talk too much because of the pace of the NBA game. Because on radio, you can't really set her up and sit back, because the way the Warriors play, the way the NBA has played today, it's fast moving. You know, Tom and Jim barely get a word in edgewise with Tim because the pace of the game.
Exactly. And Mary and I, as you can imagine, have been talking quite a bit. And we checked in yesterday. We've been watching all the Bulls games on League Pass and just checking in with each other. What did you think about this? What did you think about that? And she goes, Kate, I just want to make something clear. This is not television, because as you mentioned, we've worked together at Pac-12 Network for years calling games together. Where on TV, the analyst is often the star, because it's play-by-play. I can just say, Stephen Curry, got it! Because you can see everything he's doing. But hopefully on Monday, I'll be saying, you know, Steph crosses the timeline, dribbles right, crosses over, back to the right wing, so that people know where he is on the court and exactly what he's doing. So Mary and I, when we were talking yesterday, she said, Kate, I just want to make one thing really clear. So excited we're doing this together. Don't you dare try to make space for me at any point. You straight arm me the whole broadcast. This is about you, and I know you hate that, and that's one of the reasons that I love you, but radio play-by-play for basketball is all about you. So you talk as much as you want, and I will get in wherever, because the best thing is I'm getting paid for all of it. So if I say 100 words, still getting paid the same. So you have fun on Monday night.
That's awesome. It's going to be such a comfort level for you, too, to be able to work with her. You've worked with her so much. She's a basketball mind. In doing my research, you know, she grew up in Chicago, hoops hotbed. I mean, she knows basketball.
Yeah, she knows basketball so much. And obviously, I'm excited that I'm calling a Warriors game, growing up a Warriors fan. To call an NBA game as any broadcaster is a huge thing, because there's so few NBA teams and jobs. I mean, you know, RC, this is probably going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Hopefully not, but if it is, even this, to get to do it with somebody who's not only fantastic at her job, which I can't wait for our Warriors fans to hear that, but she's been a mentor for me. I wouldn't be doing this if I haven't learned the craft over the past 10 years watching Mary. And it comes down to the little things. Just watching her at shoot around with coaches, with players. How does she prep? What does she dress like when she travels so people treat her as a professional? You know, what is she eating or not eating on game day? It sounds funny, right? Because we're just broadcasters, but similar, not exactly to the degree of athletes, but it matters. All of those things, your sleep habits, and I've learned all of that from Mary. So I'm excited about the fact that it's a Warriors game, that it's an NBA game, but if I'm being honest, I'm most excited that I get to do this beside my mentor. And I really look forward to people hearing us work together.
That's great. You talk about all the things you've learned from her. Who are some of the people that you learned from that you don't know personally? What announcers have you maybe crafted or really listened to carefully? Or who are some of the announcers that maybe help shape Kate Scott?
Well, the one that comes to mind who just started to be in contact with last year with the NHL game is Mike Tirico, because similar to what you and I were talking about earlier, he calls everything and he does it at the highest of levels, you know, calling NHL and NBA finals and hosting and doing a little bit of everything. So he's somebody I look to when just has the respect of everybody in the industry. Doesn't matter what sport he's calling. If you know Mike Tirico's calling your game instantly as an athlete and a fan, you know this is a big deal. So that's somebody who I've always listened to with a very keen ear. Just little things, right? The verbs he uses, the terminology, when he lays out, which is much more a TV thing than radio, especially with no fans. You can lay out on radio. I know that's been a difficult thing for a lot of radio broadcasters to adjust to this year. But those can be the most important things when you're doing television. Lay out. We've got the picture. Just let us see the team celebrating. We don't want to hear you. So that's one of them, the big one that jumps out to me. And then in the Bay Area, some people who have become my friends, Barry Tompkins. I mean, he was one of the first ones. Tim Roy, who is, I can't thank Tim enough for stepping aside for one night. And I know that probably sounds crazy to a lot of people who aren't in this industry. But think if you reach the pinnacle of your career, if somebody asks you to take a day off, are you ever?
Right.
No, come on. I've worked my whole life for this. So for Tim and Tom to do this, I know I speak for Mary when I say that we are just so grateful for them.
Well, I can't wait to work with you on Monday against the Bulls. And thank you for joining us here today. Can't wait to get this going.
Yeah, let's do it, RC. I can't wait either. Thanks so much.
Coach Mary Murphy. She is going to be part of the women's only broadcast on March 29th versus Chicago Bulls on the Golden State Warriors radio network, along with Kate Scott and Kareth Burke. Mary, how you doing?
Doing great. Excited to be talking to you today.
I've already talked with Kate and Kareth, and they're very excited to do this and thought we'd interview you and kind of get to know you a bit. You're born and raised in Chicago. That's a hoops hotbed.
It is, and it's funny because I grew up listening to the Bulls on the radio and the Blackhawks and the Cubs as well. So love radio, and it's going to be exciting to actually be doing a Bulls game too.
I know, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? Of all the teams that you would get to do, it would be the Bulls.
Very ironic. My family's pretty excited back in Chicago.
You went to Northwestern, speaking of Chicago, and then you went on to Notre Dame as a grad assistant, and you were head coach at Wisconsin. The women's game, it's really evolved over the years, hasn't it? No one could know that more than you.
Yeah, it's evolved tremendously. And I think everything that's going on with this year's NCAA tournament on both the men's and the women's side really shows how far it's come. And it's a blast to be a part of it. And it's fun to have been a part of it on the coaching side, the playing side, and now kind of talking about it for a living. It's been a great ride.
Where would you say the women's game has grown the most? Is it ball handling? Is it the fact that now you do have some players that can go above the rim and the athleticism? Where would you say the game has grown the most?
I just think that it's so much more wide open. The talent, the depth of talent is across the country. You know, there's just not a couple good teams. There's lots of teams that can contend for a national championship. And I think a big part of that is just that, you know, guys who are dads and have daughters decided, you know, I want my daughter to be great, you know? And so there's just been a lot of moms and dads that have gotten involved. And I think that's pushed the AAU programs as much on the men's, on the boys' side as it has on the women's side. And everyone's excited about where it's going and the depth of talent and how far this game can really fly.
Dawn Staley is one of my favorite players. I mean, when I was growing up, like, who do you like? Who do you like? And I was like, Tisha Panichero. I was like, Dawn Staley. Those are some of my favorite players.
Yeah, the thing about Dawn is she's the same kind of coach as she was a player. And she doesn't take anything from anybody at any time. You'll know exactly where you stand with her. And it's interesting. She might be Tara Vanderveer's favorite player ever. Coached her during that Olympic year. And you can see why. She's a winner. She knows what it takes. She demands the most from her team and from those who are working around her. So she's a lot of fun to watch.
Your partner for the Bulls game will be Kate Scott, who you've got to work with a lot. We were talking about how when she was growing up, she was the point guard, or she was the midfielder in soccer. She was always kind of the leader, and that's why she was drawn to play-by-play. Would you agree that leaders, you're either a leader or you're not. It's not something that can really be taught. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think it sometimes it depends on your family and where you're at in your family as well. But Kate, the thing about Kate is she's just such a go-getter. And so, yeah, when she's out there going and people want to follow and see where she's going to take them. So, Kate, when you think leadership, I think that's one of the words that comes to mind.
You were part of Sacramento Monarchs at the dawn of the WNBA. Like, did you think it was going to last 20 years?
I did. And if you looked at the league where it was then and where it is now, this is the year 25. It's a big anniversary. And it's remarkable how far it's come. And it's much like the NBA in its early days. I don't think anyone could have ever envisioned what the NBA has evolved into and what the level of play and how you pack these arenas back before COVID. And I'm sure it'll happen again once we get beyond everything that we're in. And I think that's where the WNBA is headed as well.
TV and radio are two different mediums. And
yes, they are.
Kate was talking about the chance to do radio and how you said, hey, you're the star. Don't feel you got to squeeze me in.
I worked for 3 summers with Mike Inglis, who does the Miami Heat radio. And when they had a WNBA team, I moved down there for 3 summers. And so I have a lot of experience working with Mike. And I love working radio because from an analyst standpoint, you're just getting in and getting out. You know, the play-by-play drives that thing and you're just along for the ride. And if the window's open a little bit, you're going to pop a little comment in, but you're just trying to help describe that action. And to me, that's one of the things that Tim Roy does such a great job of is when he says, moving from your left to your right, and you close your eyes, you can start envisioning where they are because you've seen it on TV and you're thinking about, all right, they're going this way. This is what's happening on the floor. And it's just your job to sort of paint the brush for the listeners of what's happening so that they can really have a feel for it. Radio is a beautiful thing. I think it's going to be a blast, and it is a blast to listen to.
Well, Mary, we cannot wait to do this. I can't wait to work with you and Kate and Kara and do this thing. It's going to be great. Appreciate you joining us today, and I just can't wait to get going.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your time, RC.
RC Davis here for Warriors.com and Warriors Sound with NBC Sports Bay Area's reporter, Kareth Burke. How you doing, Kareth?
I'm doing great, RC.
So the reason we have you today, Bulls game, March 29th, you, Kate Scott, and Coach Mary Murphy are going to take over for Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert, and Jim Barnett, and myself, broadcast the game. Are you excited?
Yes. I know it's Women's Empowerment Month, and I tell you, I feel empowered. This is a huge opportunity to help cover an NBA game. It's one that I never thought I would have. I know that sounds strange. I do sideline reporting for the television broadcast, but radio is a different animal, and I'm really excited for the challenge.
So you'll be acting as pregame host, halftime host, and postgame host. Is that something you've ever done before? I know you have some radio experience.
I've dabbled in radio a long time ago, but to do the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame, that's the glue for the whole show. I get to be the first voice people hear and the last voice people hear. I have to bring the energy right away off the top, and I take that seriously. I'm really excited and proud of this opportunity.
That's great. That's so great. Now, have you been watching a lot of Bulls games lately and catching up on their names and their rookies and their storylines?
Well, that's 2 different questions. Have I been watching a lot of Bulls games? No. But will I make sure that I am up to date on how to pronounce their names and stats? Of course. I mean, I find during the season, it's okay, what am I doing today? And what am I doing tomorrow? And really preparing for those moments. But yes, I'm looking ahead to the Bulls. Yes, I understand. You know, preparation is so important. And I think Kate and Mary and I found out at least a week ago that we were doing this, and that's when the preparation began. So yes, there was an honest moment about at this time I'm not watching Bulls games, but I am preparing deeply for everything that this entails, because my role is a little bit different than what Mary and Kate will be doing in the game. But we all have to know what's up with both teams to make this a successful broadcast.
How have your friends and loved ones and coworkers responded to this opportunity for you?
My mom is thrilled. My dad is thrilled. Their first question was, how do we listen? All right. I was like, well, there's that live button right there. And then an overwhelming response on social media too. I think the people who are oh, I don't know, crusty about women getting these opportunities are really few and far between. And the things that made me happiest was hearing from people who said, my daughter will love to hear this, and that they plan on tuning in.
That's great. I think that's fantastic. Let's tell a little bit about your background. You're from the Northwest in Seattle. You had your big break in New York, working at SNY. You got to cover the Olympics. I know that was a dream for you. Was there an aha moment during your climb where you were like, I got this?
Well, I think the aha moment was coupled with a moment when I said yes, when I was very nervous to say yes. My boss in New York said, there's going to be a relationship with UConn women's basketball. It'll be the network that, you know, a footprint of four states can see it in. UConn women's basketball is a cherished program, like the winningest program. And then when my boss said, we need a sideline reporter, would you like to do it? At that point in my career, I had no sideline experience, but I looked him in the eye and I said, yes, I would like that opportunity. And then when he walked away is when I allowed my heart to start fluttering, like, shoot, how do I do this? But I threw myself into it. I figured it out. I talked to mentors who could help me. And I didn't let my fear prevent me from having an opportunity that changed the course of my career. Covering UConn women's basketball helped me cover women's basketball at the Olympics for NBC. That relationship put me on the radar for the Golden State Warriors job. So it was all, I can see this moment in my head, in the office where I was sitting when my boss came over to me. That's how much it meant to me.
Life is all about opportunity. And like you said, saying yes. The late great Craig Sager, when he got sick during the Olympics, that there's a domino effect. Mm-hmm. And people slid over and slid up, slid down, moved over. Yeah. And that gave you a chance to be front and center right there in Rio.
It's always, you know, players talk about staying ready. Well, I think we have to do so in broadcasting as well. You never know when an opportunity is going to come your way. Saying yes, conquering fear, just kind of going for it and having fun as well. Sports are fun. That's why I'm in this business. So if I can just smile and go with it, we'll see where it takes me.
A wise person once said, this is sports. We're not curing cancer.
Exactly.
Do you think the fact that you started out lugging the camera, sitting in an editing bay, learning the intricacies of this business before being promoted to the sideline, how much do you think that prepared you to not only be grateful, but be prepared?
Well, it's humbling, RC, because I remember the day I graduated from college, I wanted to be at ESPN yesterday. You don't just get to zoom to the top. You have to put in the work. So yes, carrying that huge TV camera that honestly weighed about 20 pounds, or running cable, or, you know, you're just working on a lot of hot days in the summer calling at soccer games or at high school games. And I'm so thankful that I've learned to tell a story from start to finish. I know how to edit. I know what sound bites to listen to. I'm thankful that I've done some print reporting, a little bit of radio. Hopefully that's made me into a well-rounded person. Because it's really not about me. It's how you tell the story. People are entrusting you with their words and their emotions, and you get to deliver that in a package for viewers or listeners. So it's not about me. It's about them. And I feel lucky that I have enough experience, I believe, to tell a good story.
How grateful are you because people relate you to the Warriors? Like, people relate certain people to certain places. How lucky are you to be related and thought of as a Warriors person?
Oh, I'm charmed. My first season here was a championship season. And then fans, I mean, we have millions of people watching us on our network. It was huge. I didn't quite realize the spotlight, and maybe that helped me a little bit, not get too overwhelmed by the, I know bigness isn't a word, but like just how much surrounds this job, how much attention and spotlight is on the job by virtue of covering a dynasty like the Warriors. I remember traveling overseas before I got this job and seeing Warriors jerseys in London, in Paris, in Vietnam. Like, you just get a sense about what a global phenomenon this team is. And now suddenly I'm working alongside these players. That was incredible and humbling.
Finally, you mentioned that you got some love on Twitter with people saying, my daughter's going to love this. What would you tell an 11 or 12 year old Kareth, if you could, about what you're going to be doing in your 30s and as you, you know, grow in this field?
I would say, don't worry, you are going to be incredibly happy and fulfilled. And when you turn on sports, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, whether it's whatever you love, you will hear a woman's voice or see a woman's face. And that's cool. You belong here in sports.
I can't wait to get this going on Monday. It's going to be exciting. Happy to work with you and Kate and Coach Murphy. I can't wait to get going.
Thank you. Me neither. I'm really thankful that someone with your expertise is going to be there to hold our hand, because this broadcast is going to be incredible.
Should be a fun time on Monday the 29th versus Chicago. To listen on the Warriors app, on the radio.com app, the NBA app, or our flagship station 95.7 The Game. And thank you for listening to Warriors Sound.